We will begin our worship service tonight reading from Psalm 57. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O God, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to each one of us. Now, if you will, let us bow our heads as we call upon the name of the Lord. Our Father, we give thee thanks, thanking thee that thou art God, and beside thee there is no other true and living God. And we thank thee tonight, Father, that in thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we may call thee our God and our Father. We thank thee for his person, for his work of redemption, for his blood and righteousness, by which we are reconciled unto thee. We thank thee tonight that we are accepted in Christ, in the Beloved. And we pray that you will bless your word as we study this evening, that you will speak to us, Father, that you will comfort your people. And we give thee thanks for thy word tonight. And we pray that you would cause it to enter into our hearts, that we might receive thy word, believe thy word, and be doers of thy word. We pray for our nation. Lord, we ask for your mercy. We ask, Father, for your help in this time of need. We pray that you might turn our hearts unto thee, that you might use this in such a way as men and women might seek thy face. And again, Father, we thank thee that we may call thee our God and our Father. And all of these things I ask tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen. If you will, I want to speak to us tonight from Ephesians chapter 1. We've been studying for some months now the letter of Hebrews. And we finished chapter 12 last week, and we should be beginning with chapter 13. But in light of the events that are going on right now in our country, I thought that I would bring a message to us from Ephesians chapter 1. I know that there's a lot of uncertainty, there's a lot of fear, and I pray that God would bless this message and use it to comfort his people and to bring glory to his name. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Tonight, I want to remind us of four truths about the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the way the apostle begins our text. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to remind us this evening of four truths about the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's many more truths which are revealed in the Word of God about him, but for time's sake, we'll just look at these four. Four truths about the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe these truths will be a comfort and a help to all of God's children. First, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is a God of knowledge. A God of knowledge. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, in Hannah's prayer, we read these words. For the Lord is a God of knowledge. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is a God of knowledge. And I begin tonight with this truth because the Scriptures reveal that God is all-knowing, that God knows everything. In Psalm 139, the psalmist speaks about the knowledge of God, the omniscience of God. He speaks about the fact that God knows every thought. He knows our down sitting. He knows our uprising. There cannot be a word upon our tongue, but that God knows it altogether. And after confessing these truths about the God of knowledge, the psalmist made this statement. He said this, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it." Psalm 139 and verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. God knows all things, and he knows all things at once, and he knows all things from everlasting. There's not a thought. There's not a word. There's not an action that men might have or have that God does not know. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 18, the apostle James said this. He said, "Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." All his works. Known unto God are all his works. All his works are known unto him from the beginning. That is, from the beginning of creation. Already known unto God are all his works. And they are known unto God because he has ordained all things that come to pass in time. God never learns anything. That's hard for you and I to grasp. God never learns anything. And when God, in the Word of God, when God asks a question, he condescends to use language that you and I would use. But God never asked a question for information. You remember in Genesis chapter 3 when he said, "Adam, where art thou?" Surely no one would believe that God was asking for information, that God did not know where Adam was at that time. God knows all things, and he's known all things from the beginning. He never learns anything. He never asks for information. When this coronavirus was discovered by men, it was already known unto God, unto him with whom you and I have to do. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is a God of knowledge. The psalmist said, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Only a fool would deny the existence of God. And if there could be anything greater than a fool, it would be a person who confesses that there is a God, but that somehow he is not all-knowing, that he doesn't know everything, that he learns as time goes by. How foolish, my friends. What a weak God that is. And how unbecoming of God it would be to think that he is not a God of knowledge. He is a God of all knowledge. And as I said, all that is, all that might be, God knows and has always known from the beginning. A second truth about the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is simply that he is a God of truth. A God of knowledge, yes, and also a God of truth. And we read this in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. And this is part of the song of Moses that God gave him to teach unto the children of Israel. And in this song we read, God is the rock. His work is perfect. God's work is perfect. For his ways are judgment, a God of truth. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is not only a God of knowledge, but he is a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. He is the true God. And in fact, this is one of his names in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. He is the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God manifest in the flesh. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. God is a God of truth. He cannot lie. And that simply means that he cannot change, that God is the same today as he has always been, that his will never changes. His will is eternal. He is the same today as he was yesterday and shall be forever. In the book of Malachi, he confessed, I am the Lord, I change not. God is immutable. God never changes. He's a God of truth. And this is what he has told us about himself. He's told us the truth about himself. What do you know about God? What do you know about the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, what we know about him, we know from God's Word. And he has told us the truth about himself. For instance, he said this, that he is God, and beside him there is no other. He said, I know of no other. There is no other God. There's only one God, the true and living God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he is a God of truth. He is sovereign. And the scripture says that he works all things after the counsel of his own will. And when he mentions the counsel of his own will, when we do something, we take counsel. But God doesn't take counsel with men or with angels, but he is confessing unto us his wisdom. He is God who works all things after the counsel of his own will. That is, his wisdom in all things is manifested that he does. Never entertain, and I don't think you would, certainly no believer would ever think this, but never think that this coronavirus will not in some way bring glory to God, because it will. Never think that it will not in some way work for good for those who are the called according to God's purpose, because it will. The scripture says, for of him and through him and to him are all things. And the coronavirus is certainly included in the all things. For of him and to him and for him, the apostle said, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. And God is going to bring glory to himself through this. We don't need to wonder about that. We don't need to doubt about that. As awful as we may think it is, and as the psalmist said in the psalm that I read, Psalm 57, that we will hide under his wings until this calamity be overpassed. But my friends, God is a God of truth. And of him and through him and to him are all things. Yes, even this and all for his glory forever. The third thing about God that I want to mention this time is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is a God of power. He is a God of power. The scripture says in Psalm 62 and verse 11, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. We speak about his omnipotence, and that simply means that he is all-powerful. God is a God of power, and his creation testifies to his power. For all things he spoke into existence by the word of his power. The psalmist said in Psalm 33 and verse 9, for he spoke, and it was done. He spoke in the beginning. God said, let there be light. And light was. God is a God of power. He has spoken all things into existence. And when we think about this coronavirus, we recognize that it is under his power. It is under his control. That it is not above his power. We know that. We know that somehow it's powerful, as we are being told, and as this world is experiencing the sickness that it brings. But it's not all-powerful. Only God is all-powerful. Blessed, the psalmist or the apostle said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's a God of knowledge. He's a God of truth. He's a God of power. And the fourth thing that I would say about the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's a God of predestination. He's a God of predestination. We read it here in our text. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Predestination is usually the subject is usually divided into two parts, general and special. General predestination. Some might rather refer to this as God's providence. General predestination. It means that all things that have been, that are, or shall be done in this world come under the determination and appointment of God. God's predestination, all things that take place in this world, in time, all things come under the determination and appointment of God. When God in the scriptures foretold the future, for instance, when he told Abraham that his posterity would be slaves or servants for 400 years in Egypt. Now, if God had not determined beforehand all things that come to pass, then certainly he could not have foretold that this would last for 400 years. And that's true of every prophecy in the Word of God. The apostle wrote, having predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will, I'm sure you're familiar with the history of King Nebuchadnezzar. He was the king of Babylon. He was a mighty, mighty monarch, and his kingdom was great. But God taught him who is the sovereign, who is in control of all things. And after he was put out into the field, after seven seasons passed upon him, then listen to what Nebuchadnezzar confessed about God. He, that is God, he doeth his will in the armies of heaven. That is, among the angels. God does his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, that is mankind, among the inhabitants of the earth, he doeth his will. And none can stay his hand. No one can say unto God, stop. You can't do that. Stop. No one can say, stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? The Apostle Paul, remember in Romans chapter 9, he answered some objections that some men might have to the sovereignty of God. And he answered it by saying, nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? No, Nebuchadnezzar confessed the truth. None can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? The Lord Jesus Christ spoke about this general providence when he told his disciples that two sparrows, he said, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And that was just a very small amount of money. Two small birds are sold for a little amount, and yet, and not one of them shall fall into the ground without your Father. Not one of them. They're not worth much. They're sold for two farthings. But not one of them shall fall to the ground without your Father. In other words, God is in control of the smallest things in this world as well as the greatest things in this world. There's a general providence, and God is in control. God is in charge. This is God's world. And he worketh all things after the counsel of his will. And our Lord went on to say, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. You don't know how many hairs are upon your head. There's no way you could count them. But God knows. God knows. There's a general providence, a general predestination over all things, my friends. But there's a special predestination. There's a special predestination. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's a God of knowledge, a God of truth, a God of power, and yes, he's a God of predestination. There's a special predestination. First of all, Christ. Yes, Christ was the object of predestination. He was foreordained to be the mediator between God and men. He was set forth to be the propitiation for the sins of God's people. Who set him forth? God did. God set him forth to be the Redeemer and the Savior of his people, to be the head of his church. You know, he is called God's elect. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is called God's elect. He was chosen first, and his people were chosen in him. That's what Paul tells us here. According as he hath chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. He came into this world, and everything that happened to him, everything that he experienced in this world, men spitting upon him, men rejecting him, men nailing him to a cross, everything that happened to him happened according to the words of Peter, the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. There was a predestination concerning Christ. And listen to these words of the apostles as they prayed in Acts chapter 4 concerning this providence, this predestination concerning Christ in Acts chapter 4. Peter and John had been arrested and they had been interrogated by the Pharisees there in the temple. And when they were released, the scripture says, and being let go, Acts chapter 4, verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that is when the church there that was assembled, the apostles, when they heard that, the scripture said, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Now notice, for of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determine before to be done. So there is a special predestination concerning Christ. There's a special predestination concerning the angels. We read of the elect angels. Not all of the angels fail. And then third, there is a special predestination concerning men. There is an election of some men who are predestinated, as this verse says, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It is these who are mentioned here, who are predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. It is these that the scriptures declare, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. All things, the coronavirus included, this is all part of God's sovereign purpose, and it will accomplish what God has determined. Are we to use wisdom that God gives us in regard to this virus? Of course we are. Yes, but my friends, we are not to be fearful in the sense that the world is fearful, that has no hope. Our hope is in God. My hope is in God. And he is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's a God of knowledge. He's a God of truth. He's a God of power. And he's a God of predestination. And I know this. Separate one of God's children from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Apostle Paul tells us that in Romans chapter 8. Nothing can separate from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I pray that the Lord would bless this word as I have tried to remind us of these several truths about the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he might comfort your heart and comfort my heart through the word of God, and being reminded once again who is in control, and that is God Almighty. He is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and everything is in control, his control, under his hand, and all things are working together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. I pray that the Lord would bless His word to you tonight. Until we see each other again, I pray the Lord would bless you. Thank you.